Let's pray for this portion. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the grace you have poured on us, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can have an edifying lips full of grace, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would bless this portion and you would speak to us, Lord, and change us and transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Isaiah 1 verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, and they will be like wool. You know, the word which attracted me was, let us reason together. Can you imagine God is saying that let us reason together? You know what? It has got a very deep meaning, because normally when we look at the Bible and say, okay, this is it. But God is saying, though your sins are there, but I want to reason with you. Right? And in Isaiah 41 verse 21, it says, present your case, the Lord says, bring forth your strong argument, the King of Jacob says. Bring forth your strong argument. So God is opening a floodgate actually, and is saying that, bring your strong argument and bring your reasoning with me. Which means God is willing to talk to us, and he is willing to, you know, see us, what is actually deal with us. And it's beautiful to see in the Bible that there's one person who was bombarded with these questions, you know, and he's the only person who could handle it. And no other than Jesus Christ, right? In his 3 years ministry, it was mind-blowing to see how he handled these questions. And today we'll just go through some 7 different questions, how Jesus Christ dealt with these questions and how they wanted to reason with him, how they wanted to argue with him. You know, let's start with Luke 5, verse 21 to 25. It says, and the scribe and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemous? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, aware of their reasoning, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your heart? Jesus Christ straight goes into their heart. He knows what's happening in their heart, and he knows what's happening in our heart. And we also have this question, you know, when before we were saved, what about this sin? Why am I going through this? Okay, why am I going through this even after I'm saved? And he deals with our heart. Which is easier to say? Say, your sins have been forgiven you, or say that, rise and walk. But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the paralytic, and I say to you, thee that take up your stretcher and go home. Rise up and walk. And the other word is authority. You know, Jesus Christ has got authority. And that is why he could say that thing to the paralytic person, rise up and walk. So he comes, you come with a question about sin, and he gives you a completely different answer. He says that you rise up and walk, and he claims his authority. In Matthew 28 and 18, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And these guys were questioning his authority. Right? By saying that, they were questioning his authority. And we need to ask this question to ourselves. Right? Whose authority we are in? Are we in the authority of the world system? Are we in the authority of the devil? Or are we in the authority of own myself? But the point is the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives. You know what it will do? We rise up and walk in every situation. Right? We rise up and walk in every situation. That paralytic situation is what that guy, but we have paralysis ourselves. Okay, but we claim Jesus Christ's authority and we walk. That's the first one. Second, in Luke 9, verse 46 to 48, there's another question here. And an argument rose among them as to which of them might be the greatest. Amazing. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, now he goes to the mind. He knows what you're thinking. In their heart, took a child and stood by his side and said to them, whoever receives the child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you is the one who is great. You know what is the issue here? It is the issue of power. There is an issue of power here. Who is going to be the greatest? You know what Jesus Christ says in verse 48? He says, least among you. Least among you. He gives a different answer. Right? And you know what? Humility is the secret of the greatness. Your greatness is based on humility. Humility is the secret of greatness. In Matthew 18, 1 to 4, and verse 3 in fact, it says, unless you are converted and becomes like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And verse 4, it says, whoever then humbles himself as the child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of God. There's a condition clause in verse 3. He says, first you get saved. First you know who I am. Where Saravanan beautifully said, how grace can give you a eternal life. Right? First you get saved. And then you talk about, the greatness. Then you talk about the power. And then you talk about the authority. He says, humble yourself. So, let's look at the fourth question. In Luke 10, verse 25 to 36. It's very interesting. Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Amazing. Lawyer is asking a question. Definitely it's got to do with the law. And he said to him, and Jesus Christ said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you shall be, and you shall live. Verse 29. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Imagine this question. And Jesus replied, now there is a parable of a good Samaritan. I'm not going through it, but we know about it. How a person was fallen by on the street and nobody came, but there was one good Samaritan who came and helped. And let's go to verse 35. What does the good Samaritan do? And on the next day, he took out the 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend and I return, I will repay you. Which of these do you think prove to be neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's friends? And he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. And Jesus said to them, go and do the same. You know what? Here, Jesus Christ is dealing with the law. And you know what is the remedy to it? Mercy. In James 2:13, part B says, mercy rejoices against judgment. And Galatians 3:24 says, law has become a tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. And you know what? Jesus Christ was demanding this on which commandment? In John 13:34, the new commandment, you love one another even as I have loved you. Isn't it amazing? He nailed it at the cross because of the unconditional love he had for us. And that is where the law is. Everything stands on that. Then only you will be able to love somebody else. And that is only because of his mercy. Jesus Christ answers very differently. Let's look at the fifth question. Luke 18. Verse 18. And a certain ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do you not commit adultery? Do you not murder? Do not steal? Do not bear false witness? Honor yourself, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept them my youth. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And verse 24, Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And it's beautifully here, Peter immediately jumps in verse 28. And Peter says, behold, we have left our own homes and followed you. And Jesus Christ replies, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times as much as the time and in the age to come eternal life. Here Jesus Christ, these guys are asking about eternal life, but they want to hold back their possessions and still want to talk about eternal life, right? We have to be very light in eternal life. And we'll come to know at the time of rapture how heavy we were and how light we were. But you know what? Jesus Christ, the point here is Jesus Christ is talking about sacrifice. You know what? This sacrifice is for the sake of the gospel. Right? What is important? This sacrifice is for, because eternal life you cannot get unless the gospel is preached and people have to believe. You know why that sacrifice is important for this gospel? Because hell is real. And isn't it amazing? We as a body go out Thursdays and Saturdays, four locations. Okay, and we preach the gospel. You know why? Because hell is real. And eternal life cannot happen unless the gospel is preached and the love of Christ has been made known to a lost and the dying world. Let's go to the sixth one. We'll go to John 10:24. I'm sorry, we're going through a lot of verses, but and the Jews therefore gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. They're fed up. They're fed up. How long are you going to keep us in suspense? He'll never answer to you directly. He'll talk to them in parables. But here Jesus Christ answered them. I told you, and you do not believe the work I do in my Father's name. These bears witness to me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. It's amazing. No one can snatch us out of his hands. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all that. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and Father are one. He cleared it. He said, I and Father are one. They were questioning his deity. They were questioning his deity. Right? And they couldn't handle it. And they wanted to throw stones at him. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you being a man, make yourself out to be God. And it's beautifully how he comes in at verse 34. Has it not been written that your law, that I said you are one? And then he goes on with this. But the point is this. They could not comprehend the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. That he was man and God in one. Till even his disciples didn't understand. Till the time he went to the cross, he died and he rose up again. And when he was with his own people, then they realized who he was actually. Right? So this requires faith for us. And when we go to the field, when we go to the streets, talk about Christ, you know, we are taking Jesus Christ with us. Right? And we are taking his deity with us. And we are confessing his deity. Then now let's look at one more question. John 11:21. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Even though I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Now here's a question of death. The most feared, most dreadful thing for any human being, two things. One is death and other is standing here and speaking. To be able to speak on the through the mic. Death is the most dreadful thing. And isn't it beautiful here how Jesus Christ conquered death? He definitely conquered death for himself. Right? He showed us. But here is where he showed how he can conquer death. Martha said to him, but here the question of Martha was unbelief. Though she knew the doctrine so well, she knew that it will happen at some point, but she didn't believe that it will happen now. And deliberately Jesus Christ actually delayed going there. You know, he delayed reaching there so that it becomes absolutely clear that how he's going to conquer death. It's very interesting. Let's read verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me shall live ever if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The antidote for death is Jesus Christ himself. Said, do you believe? And if you believe in him, we get a resurrection life. Isn't it amazing? Such a dimension of understanding on every aspect of life. He's dealt with it. So all the questions, there are so many other questions here, but this beautiful seven questions, if you can just go through it. First, he dealt with the authority of Christ. Right? Second, dealing with the power. Who's the greatest? And he dealt with it by humility. And third, regarding the law, and he gave us mercy. And that is the fourth one, sorry. And the fifth one, it's about eternal life and about the everlasting life, eternal life. And he gave us gospel, right? And he said that, he gave us gospel. And on the deity, he said he and Father is one, which means he is the hypostatic union person for us, Jesus Christ himself. And the last one is death. And he said that resurrection, I am the resurrection. And when we believe in him, even we are resurrected with him and we will live forever. So I would just like to close with this. And isn't it amazing that we can reason with God? We can argue with God. And he is willing to talk to us. He is willing to reason with us. He is willing to take all our arguments and deal with grace, love, mercy. Right? And he's willing to listen to us. Right? So he knows what's happening in our life at this moment. Every moment he knows. And he's willing to reason with us. So let's reason with him. Let's argue with him. Let's disagree with him and he'll make us agree. That's the confidence we have. Okay, so let's enjoy our time here because we have a wonderful body here. Just close with prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can talk to you. We can reason with you. We can argue with you, Lord, because you dealt everything at the cross. It's not about sin, but it's about a relationship you want with us, Lord, and a very intimate relationship, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.